Welcome back, sex fans. Today is Monday, March 17th, 2008, St. Paddy's Day, in fact. And you have the good fortune to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. With your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. Ah, that would be me. This week, we're back to our brand spanking new interview format. And I'm pleased to bring you part one of my interview with two very important people in the world of swing. That's swing as in swingers, not swing as in music, although, who knows, they might be musically inclined too. My guests, Allie and John, are the amazing people behind swingercast.com. Their site is chock full of great information about the swinging lifestyle. Their podcasts are nifty travelogues where they share their sexy encounters with real people at real couples-only swing clubs. They introduce you to other swingers and share the intimate stories of their sex life as they venture into the lifestyle. You don't want to miss these podcasts, people. Look for them at swingercast.com. In keeping with the naughty theme of today's program, this podcast is brought to you by Dr. Dick's Stock Room. You'll find a link to this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, fetish, gear, and wear right there on the front page of drdickssexadvice.com. Look for the My Stock Room tab. Shopping at Dr. Dick's Stock Room is just so damn fun and, I might add, easy. Yes-a-ree, sex fans, you can spare yourself the embarrassment of skulking down to your local sex emporium to pick up all those marital aids you've been drooling over. You can forget about seedy storefronts and leering salesmen in unsavory neighborhoods because you shop from the privacy of your own computer. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stock Room, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit My Stock Room today. Sex toys and props are just a click away. But before we begin today's exciting show, I'd like to remind you of the toll-free lickety-split sex advice podcast hotline at 866-422-5680. As you all know by this time, this is a free, no pressure, voicemail kind of setup. No human will answer your call, least of all me, so don't be shy, my pretties. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, on with the show. Without further ado, I am absolutely delighted to welcome John and Allie of swingercast.com. Hey there, you guys. Welcome. I'm so glad that you could join us here at drdicksexadvice.com. I've been dying to have you on one of my shows forever, as you know. And now that you're here, I want to pick your brains. But before we begin, I would like to ask you to introduce yourselves and your website.
Okay. I'm Allie.
And I'm John. And we are swingercast.com. We've been producing a podcast for 2 years on the subject of swinging, and we've done almost 50 shows on the subject matter, and usually it's just from our own personal experiences. We don't try to, like, stand and dictate, you know, what the lifestyle is for people, but more or less just put our lifestyle experiences out there and take it from there.
Right. Yeah. Good. So you're not setting yourself up as the moral authority for what swinging is and what it is not. But rather
no.
From your own perspective. Good, good, good.
No, we're not experts. We're just naughty.
So maybe we could start there. And what would be a working definition for swinging? Is there such a thing first?
I think that the lifestyle of a working definition of swinging is it's basically committed couples who are engaging in extra sex. And some byproducts of that are that it spices up the marriage and makes our relationship stronger, at least. I can say that for sure.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So basically, we're primarily talking about couples opening their relationship to include other couples, individuals, or groups of people to enhance their sexual lives, right?
Yeah, social or sexual intercourse, I guess.
Right. And it It doesn't have to be sexual, but most likely it is.
Mm-hmm.
If we're lucky.
So besides this generic definition, there must be more specific subcategories of swinging, like clubs and parties and a host of other particulars. Oh, and we should probably keep in mind that my audience here at DrDickSexAdvice.com is probably not as well versed in the concept as people who visit your site.
Right. Well, what do you think your audience's definition of swinging would be?
I suppose that they would agree with us and that it means couples having sex with other people outside of their relationship or included in their relationship. So that works. But there are clubs and parties and other stuff that, you know, folks can participate in, right?
Well, there's basically about three ways that other couples find other couples. Of course, the internet is a big part of that, and there's online dating, and there's a ton of online dating sites where people can meet, and then they go out for dinner and drinks or, you know, take it from there. Another way is, like you said, clubs. And with the clubs, there's two types of clubs. There's a on-premise club where sexual activity can occur if the club is allowed. And then there are what are called off-premise clubs where you know, people just come there to meet and socially, you know, gather and maybe go to a hotel room or back to their own home and take it from there. And the third set or the third way that people find each other are more like private house parties, and where you're on an invitation list and it's by invitation only. Usually the people that are at the house parties have played with one of the couples before and they've invited them to, you know, join their party. So that's three ways, really, the online dating, the clubs, and the house parties that people find
more.
Each other.
There's more as well, like the travel. There's a lot of resorts that cater to swingers or couples, and a lot of people are meeting there at resorts.
Would these resorts also be like clothing optional kind of resorts or
nudist
resorts?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. So if I was going to launch into the whole swinger lifestyle, and it is a lifestyle, it's not just, you know, a casual kind of thing, or can it be just a casual sort of connection?
It's a lifestyle, but it's not our life.
Uh-huh.
You know, it is casual. It is, that's the way I see it, is casual, but the friendships that we have developed with people in the lifestyle have been extraordinary. I mean, it's not just about sex.
Kind of depends on who you talk to, Dr. Dick. I mean, some people will tell you that it is a lifestyle, mm-hmm. and others will tell you that it's a hobby.
Uh-huh.
And really, I mean, it's, I kind of look at it like any kind of what somebody would call, you know, are you a bowler? Do you go bowling, or do you just, you know,
exactly.
or do you just dabble in it and you happen to be really good at it?
Yeah.
So, you know, no,
good
we
metaphor.
Don't. Yeah, it's like that to me anyway.
I remember corresponding with a couple that wrote to me asking for my thoughts on making their first tentative steps into swinging. I wrote, be advised that you are about to embark on a sexual journey that will take you to the edges of what society regards as appropriate sexual behavior. Don't be surprised if some of your more traditional friends discriminate against you when they find out about your new activities. Has that been your experience as well?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's beautiful. That's well written.
Isn't it odd that some people feel it necessary to inflict their morality and standards of behavior on other people they don't even know? And I suppose that there are those who have a more live-and-let-live attitude about things like this, just as long as it's not happening in their own backyard, you know, with friends or relations of theirs. Because if they do find out, you know, disapproval and discrimination will surely follow. That seems really unfortunate, but I suppose it's just human nature.
Right, right. And that whole thing is just been something that I have trouble understanding. And it also seems like people would be more accepting to find out their friend was cheating on his wife than having swinging experiences with his wife.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard that over and over again from people in the lifestyle.
Then, of course, there are those people out there with misguided judgments about swinging, those who have convinced themselves that swinging is only for people in troubled marriages, people who can't honor their commitments to be monogamous and are only looking for the thrill of multiple partners. They think that they don't have the gumption to end their relationship with their primary partner before going out and fucking around with others. But all the people I know in the lifestyle tell me that's definitely not true. On the contrary, one has to have a very secure relationship in order to make this kind of thing work.
Absolutely. And that is one of the biggest misconceptions about swinging, I think, in my opinion. That's what I thought swingers were before I got into the lifestyle and swinging. That was my image of a swinger. You know, I thought, oh, they're not happy, or they're not getting something out of their marriage that they need to go out and swap partners, you know. But that is completely far from the truth.
Yeah. And Dr. Dick, a very wise man who runs one of the oldest clubs, swing clubs in Seattle, he once told me that this lifestyle, it's like a big magnifying glass. And if a couple is getting into this to, you know, improve their, or, you know, repair some kind of problem that they already have, those problems that they have in their relationship are going to be amplified, and it can't cure a bad relationship. So if a couple is thinking of getting into swinging to, you know, save their marriage or save their relationship, it just, in my opinion, just doesn't work that way.
But at the same time, it can deepen a really good relationship, yes.
Absolutely. It has enhanced our relationship more than I ever could imagine.
So it seems to me that communication is key here, and I've written about this very thing. If partners know how to communicate with one another and negotiate with each other, they are more likely to have a strong relationship. If a couple is successful in determining whose responsibility it is for picking up the kids, doing the cooking, the shopping, paying the bills, and the like, they are more likely to be successful in managing more delicate issues like who can initiate sex and what kind of sex can be had, and even the possibility of opening the primary relationship to include others.
Are you sure you're not a swinger?
I'm queer, so my whole lifetime has been a swinging thing. That's funny because, you know, in gay parlance, there's no such thing as swinging. I mean, there's certainly, you know, group sex and what mirrors the swinging lifestyle, but there's no real term for that, and it's a predominant heterosexual term, swinging.
Mm-hmm.
Would you not agree?
Oh,
yes.
It is. And, you know, I mean, I know that, you know, gay folks must enjoy group sex just as much as the straight people and bi people that I know. But, you know, it is interesting that it's just not, I guess, you know, talked about or bandied about as much as we seem to go on about swinging in the hetero world, I guess.
Yes, well, you know, it was vocabulary. The word itself came out of a heterosexual experience, possibly to even mirror what was going on, you know, in the sexual freedom that gay men were experiencing, you know, long before, it would seem to me.
Well, I guess it just seemed like you guys were having a hell of a lot of fun. So.
Perhaps we were. I wonder. Let me check back into my memory banks. So, listen. Let me get back to the whole business of how one gets started. If I wanted to, me and my partner. Let's say I had a partner and I was straight, and we decided that one of the things that we might want to do is to possibly open up our relationship. We're still sitting on the fence about this. So the best thing for us to do would be...
Well, I liked what you said, we. It's all about the couple. And the very first thing is that, you know, the couple has to be able to share their fantasies with each other and make sure that both are on the same page and want to do it. It never works if one of the partners wants it, and the other partner doesn't. Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of couples, you know, I mentioned those three ways or four ways that people meet and everything. And just in my opinion, I think the best way to go, if you're fortunate enough to live in an area where there are on-premise couples clubs, I would recommend going to a club, because you can go at the club. You can just, you know, decide that you're just going to go, or you're not going to play, you're not going to do anything, you're just going to go and check it out that first night. And, you know, the worst that could happen is that you go to the club and then you go back home with your partner and have incredible sex. I mean,
because of all the visual stimulation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, so you just, I recommend going to the clubs, especially for couples that are just starting out and everything. That's how we got started. And I just think it's
yeah,
good.
It's a low pressure way to get introduced to the lifestyle.
So let's just say that my partner and I decide to go to one of these clubs, just as you suggest. How would the other people know we are up for sexual activity, or that we're there just to observe? You know, like newbies to the scene. How would they know that? Or are people just going to come up to us and start groping us?
Yeah, that's a misconception. People aren't going to come up and start grabbing at you and coming on to you, you know.
Just because we're there.
Right.
Well, if you're naked in a group room, they're going to know.
But. Well, that's going to be a dead giveaway. But wait, how would my partner and I distinguish ourselves as newcomers and novices? Is this something that we're wearing or not wearing, or is it something that we say? What is it?
It's just by what you just stated right there. It's by, you know, having that open communication and telling another couple, hey, we're new. It's our first time here. We're not sure what we're up for tonight. We're just here to get turned on by all the sexual energy and see what the night brings. And, you know, I mean, if ultimately if you make a connection with another couple, then you know, you take it from there. Every couple that is at a club had a first time. And,
good point.
You know, I know what that feels like, and I'm not going to, you know, force ourselves onto another couple. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Usually if a newer couple would like to play with us, they've got to have the courage to come up and make that first move, because I don't want to pressure anybody like that.
Yeah. So somebody would have to come up to you guys and suggest, you know, I'd like to, what do you say? I'd like to play with you? Or
you would come up and talk, uh-huh. And, you know, just like at a regular club, you know, you just talk and you don't have to go right. Don't normally go right to the sex talk, you know, just get to know people just like you would in any other club setting. And that's what it's all about, you know. It's not only do you communicate with your partner, but it's a lot of communication with everyone else as well. And body language and all that, you can tell right away. I know experienced swingers or people that have been in the lifestyle can tell right away, you know, if a partner or if one of the members of the couple is not there because they want to be. Mm-hmm. You know,
you may call it in your lifestyle, Dr. Dick, you may say gaydar.
Yes,
you've heard that?
Exactly.
We call it playdar.
Yes. Oh, good for you. Another concern that I hear from people about the lifestyle is that men are generally more eager to get involved in swinging than their female partners. But they are less comfortable with the concept of male-on-male sexuality. So if someone were interested in investigating the lifestyle, it would be pretty important to be clear about one's limits before attending a party or a club, right?
I kind of got two questions
there.
I think that women also initiate in getting into the lifestyle as well.
Uh-huh.
I'm actually the one that initiated it. But as far as male and male sexuality, are you talking about bisexuality?
Yes, basically. Like if my partner and I were playing as a couple with another couple or in a group, my sense is that it's fine for the women to interact with one another. They can be as sexual as they want with one another, kiss, hug, and the like. And, Of course, the men can play with the women. However, it's less likely that the men will be playing with other men, right?
That's true in a club setting.
Uh-huh.
But as anything, you, whatever your boundaries are or your rules as a couple, you need to communicate those with the other couple that you're going to play with.
There are absolutely bi men or men, or however you want to define it, men who enjoy playing with other men
uh-huh.
in the lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
I think that they're in a minority.
Uh-huh.
But there definitely are men and obviously women that like to play with other women as well.
Uh-huh.
For me, I'm straight. But I
My
don't have any That's funny.
Sorry.
I'll be stealing that one sometime.
Okay,
right?
Good for you.
Good. The men that we play with in the lifestyle and stuff, we have got no hang-ups. I mean, yeah, there's things that go bump, but mm-hmm. I'm not built that way.
Right.
But I do know and have friends, obviously in the lifestyle that do enjoy that. And
yes.
And to them I say, party on.
Yes, right. Knock yourself out.
Good for them. Right.
But like you said earlier, it's basically heterosexual mm-hmm. as far as swinging on the men's side. Mm-hmm. The majority of male swingers are heterosexual. Mm-hmm. And just because they are open to having sex with other people and having and they're open, it's not going to change that they're not bisexual.
That's right. That's a good point.
But women, now that's a different thing. I see a lot where people say, oh, well, at the swing clubs, bisexuality is encouraged. I wouldn't so much say it's encouraged, but it's accepted in the club situation because many, 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 and the majority of the women are, I don't like labels, but bisexual or
Bicurious.
Bicomfy.
Bi-friend.
Comfortable.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, there's so many labels on that in the women's that I don't like all the labels. But, I mean, I didn't know that I was bisexual until I got into swinging.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't, but I'm totally enjoying it now. And I look at it not so much as bisexual. It's just sexual, being open to all sexual, whether they're male or female. I think there are a lot of women that in their 30s, when they get into this swinging atmosphere, the lifestyle, they open up sexually and explore their bisexual side.
Right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there for today. Can I invite you guys back for next week so that we can pick up where we left off? I have so many more questions that I would like to ask.
Okay, sure. Absolutely.
Good, good, good. Well, thank you, guys, and I'll talk to you again next week.
Ciao.
Thank you.
Wow, what a great show. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad that you could join me. Tune in next week for part two of my interview with Ali and John from swingercast.com and more sex advice with an edge with your host, Dr. Dick. That's me. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom. Listen up, you guys. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't, I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really fun for yourself and all the pervs in your life. I mean, you'll find something naughty for everyone you know in my stockroom. And you can bank on that. We have a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. Not sure what to buy? Not to worry. Take a look at my monthly, ever-so-popular sex toy awareness feature right there on drdicksexadvice.com. It's chock-full of swell gift-giving ideas. You'll find a link to Dr. Dick's Stockroom right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the tab that reads My Stockroom. And don't forget to look for Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. All you have to do is search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex is even better. Over and out.